Welcome to Words and Pictures, the show about the narrative arts. I'm your host, S.W. Konser, and today we're talking with a very funny author and a very talented showrunner behind one of the most talked about series that's streaming on your TV or electronic device. Lindy West is the best-selling author of Shit, Actually, The Witches Are Coming, and Shrill, Notes from a Loud Woman. Alexandra Rushfield was a writer and producer for Parks and Recreation and other series before stepping into the role of showrunner for the Hulu comedy series version of Shrill. Lindy and Allie, welcome to Words and Pictures.
Hello.
Thank you.
Before we get started, I'd like to remind all of our listeners that we are currently in the midst of KBOO's all-important spring membership drive. We hope that you've been enjoying the programming this morning and that you'll take a moment to become a member of KBOO. Because we're still being cautious and not yet opening up our studios, we don't have volunteers at the station to take your calls right now. But you can show your support by giving online, kboo.fm. KBOO is one of the very last media outlets that still brings you local and independent news, music, and public affairs. We've been doing this here in Portland for over half a century, and this program has been coming to you for nearly 17 years now, inviting important cultural figures into the studio and venturing out to events that might fly beneath the radar of the big media monoliths. So yes, you can support this very special programming today by going online to kboo.fm/give, or if you like, you can mail a contribution to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, 97214. Allie and Lindy, let's talk about Shrill. Allie, you've been wrangling a real dream cast for this series. Adi Bryant is, of course, the star, and she's supported by the likes of John Cameron Mitchell as her boss and Julia Sweeney and Daniel Stern as her parents.
I know. It's amazing. I don't know how that happened.
And Adi Bryant is, of course, a comedy writer as well as a performer. So the three of you, Lindy and Allie and Adi, you started out as the original writing team on the show. That seems like a very intimate and fun writing room. How did you collaborate on setting the tone for the show? Was there a lot of give and take?
Yeah, there was. I mean, there sort of has to be. And I don't know. I think we just started with some ideas and then just kept talking and talking and then came up with what we had and then added the writers and it just took on a whole other life. And then on the set, it takes on a whole other life and keeps going through editing. So that's kind of what happened.
Well, what made you decide to set the show in Portland? I know that producer David Kress, who's famous for Portlandia, he's been part of Shrill.
Yeah, he's a huge part of Shrill.
And you brought a lot of Portland talent on board. You didn't just haul trailers full of cast and crew up from Hollywood.
No, I mean, we inherited the crew and the people from Portlandia and Documentary Now from Broadway Video, who produced Shrill as well. So we got Pacific Northwest, Lindy's Seattle, but in Portland.
Yeah, I'm born and raised up in Seattle, and it just meant a lot to me to get to shoot the show in the Pacific Northwest. I love Portland, and having that local crew really made it feel, like you could feel the love for the town, I think, in every second of the show. It was really special.
Well, Lindy, I want to set the stage a little bit. The character of Annie Easton, played by Adi Bryant, she's a writer at an alt-weekly newspaper, much as you once were at the Seattle Stranger, back when Dan Savage was the editor. And although you and Dan had very public words back in the day, you've been quite firm that the editor character played by John Cameron Mitchell, Gabe Parrish, he's not Dan Savage.
No, I mean, it's just not possible. It's just not how storytelling works. It's not how TV works, you know, especially when you have someone as brilliant as John. John had so many ideas for the character, and John really inhabited that character immediately. I didn't make this show as like to act out my personal vendetta against Dan. I made the show because to make a great show. As I've said many times, Dan and I are on great terms. I love Dan. you know, the dynamic between the two of them around bodies and the sort of public confrontation, that's drawn from my experience with Dan, but Annie's not me, and yeah, Gabe is not Dan, even though they have some similarities.
Sorry to interrupt. I think Gabe came to represent all of our mentors who we loved and butted heads with, like just the three of us and then everyone in the room, like everybody has that person. And so he became that more than Dan Savage himself.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't remember hardly ever. It's not like we sat around the room and like I described Dan Savage to you guys and then we put him on the page. You know, it's not everyone has had a boss, an intense, magical, important, complicated boss.
Yeah, he can be belittling, but he's clearly talented. You know, he deserves to be there. In fact, you know, there are characters in Shrill who are jerks. But unlike in other shows and unlike in some other memoirs, these characters, they're not one-dimensional villains. You appreciate nuance.
Yeah, we hope so. I mean, we want from Annie, who's the hero, to Gabe, who's the anti-hero, to feel like love and hatred for them both at different times.
Yeah, I mean, Annie's a really flawed character, and Annie makes horrible decisions, and Annie hurts people. And you know, it was really important to us to make this a really grounded show, and you know, grounded in reality. And I think that's how people are. People are not binary, like, you know, good or bad. And I think that's how you, if you want to make an interesting story about life, that's just what you have to do.
And a lot of times in the writer's room, things that some age group thought of being heroic for Annie and other older age group thought of as being obnoxious, you know, like it's just like the prism that's seeing it, even the one act itself can be seen in different ways.
Well, Lindy, you're a wordsmith. I mean, you cut your teeth writing magazine pieces that had to hold readers' attention. And, you know, every paragraph of your book, Shrill, is just, it's dense with one-liners and wordplay and confessional stories. What was it like to take all these pages of verbiage and kind of transmute them to the screen to such a visual medium?
I mean, it was a dream. I always wanted to write television my whole life. And to end up there in this weird roundabout way was thrilling and terrifying because I didn't know what I was doing. And you know, it was really, honestly, really vulnerable and scary and hard. It's hard to be like, okay, now I have to write dialogue for this like fake version of my mom that my real mom is going to watch. And I, you know, we pretty rapidly, you know, we pulled from Shrill the text in the beginning and I mean, throughout here and there, but once you're in a writer's room with a bunch of different voices and you're collaborating, it quickly takes on a life of its own, which was a big relief to me in a lot of ways. Cause it's really scary to take your real life and just like give it away and say, cause it is this huge collaboration. So, you know, it was just like every feeling in the world all at once. It was really, really special and fun and magical and exciting and also really scary. But luckily our team was so special and I truly love every person that worked on the show and I couldn't be more proud of how it turned out. So, you know, I don't know, we did it. I wrote my little book and then here we are, you know, 5 years later, we've made a whole TV show.
And I have to say, I talked to Lindy about this recently, like her being able to just sit in a room with all these people and talk about her father being sick or the character's father being sick when her own father was and passed away. Like it was just a tremendous thing emotionally to be able to do. Like never, ever would I have been able to like be so open about that with a whole group of people.
Yeah, probably no one should ever do it. but it also was great. I don't know.
but you didn't seem like it bothered you. Like I read something that you said about it once, and then it occurred to me like, oh my God, that was hard. But at the moment, I never picked up on that.
It's because it's like both at the same time, you know, like it was special to get to put some version of my dad on screen. And it was also hard to relive it. It was like, you know, just like everything we've been talking about, real life is really nuanced and complicated. But yeah, I loved this experience. Absolutely. Changed my life. And it's been really special. I don't know.
You're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser. And we're talking about the Hulu comedy series Shrill, based on the memoir by Lindy West. We are joined today by Lindy West, along with showrunner Ali Rushfield. And a quick word to our listeners. While our studios are still closed, KBOO is hosting a very low-key spring membership drive. During this past year's quarantine, we've continued to bring you local and independent news, music, and public affairs, as we've been doing for over half a century now. So if you've been enjoying the programming this morning, we hope that you'll take a moment to visit kboo.fm/give. You can take home a brand new holographic sticker during our Growing the Grassroots campaign. That's kboo.fm/give. Or if you like, you can mail a contribution to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, 97214. Well, I'm wondering who are some of the people who came before you who you'd consider heroes or at least influences. I can't help but think of Norman Lear, who did a lot of groundbreaking, kind of out there TV series back in the 70s.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think we talked more about like Mary Tyler Moore because it was like set in a newsroom, even though it was a news show. But yeah, just Norman Lear as far as pushing boundaries. And I mean, to me, like Laverne and Shirley as far as women's friendships and so many different shows, and Judd Apatow's shows of just being really real and grounded, and then bigger, broader things that were just really funny, and so many things came before it.
Well, you both have a very busy schedule, but I do want to ask what's next. Ali, you have a new project in the works. You're working with Seth Rogen and Sarah Silverman on a new series called Santa Inc.
Yeah, it's a stop motion animation show. And it's like basically about a woman in the workplace, but she's an elf in Santa's village who wants to become the first woman Santa Claus.
Are you working with Portland people again? This is kind of a stop motion town here.
No, that was brought up, but the Portland people are very fancy and very busy. When we interviewed all these people, it was like, you're fancy and you're busy. And I mean, the LA people are great. Like I couldn't have asked for better people, but we did look into the Portland world too.
I never think of fancy when I think of Portland.
I mean, in stop motion, it's the fanciest.
Well, Lindy, you've been writing articles, books, screenplays. What are you really excited about right now?
I mean, I'm kind of in an exciting moment where I'm like choosing my next move. I do have an episode of Shonda Rhimes' show that's going to be on Netflix. I have no idea when. It's called Notes on Love. Actually, Norman Lear wrote another episode. It's an anthology show. So I'm working on that. And then other than that, you know, I'm just like pitching a new book and kind of like looking at the horizon and making some choices, which is really exciting. Like I haven't had a moment to catch my breath in many years. So I don't know. We'll see.
Well, Ali and Lindy, it's been a pleasure to talk with you today. How can our listeners find out more about Shrill and other upcoming projects?
The Hulu website? Google us? Google. Google's a thing, right? Still?
I have a website, lindywest.net. You can go look at a picture of me and read about all my stuff. if you want to. But yeah, please watch season 3 of Shrill on Hulu May 7th. It's really good.
Made during pandemic.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again to the both of you, and come back to Portland when we're all unmasked.
Yay.
Absolutely. Can't wait. Thank you so much.
That was Shrill author Lindy West and series showrunner Allie Rushfield. Stay with us, and we'll be right back to talk with series producer David Kress. But first, a clip from the 3rd and final season of Shrill.
Excuse me. Hello.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, wow. Is this Nick's cover?
Yeah. It's good, right?
Oh, yeah.
Wish I could use them every week.
Oh, my God.
What's that?
Well, I'm going to text it to him.
Oh, yeah, you could do that. Or you could just show it to him at breakfast.
Okay, yes, I am having male breakfasts. But don't look at me like that, because it's nothing serious.
Well, that's good, because I think I know somebody who is perfect for you.
Oh! Okay, I'm interested.
Yeah? All right, well, I was talking to my buddy Will, all right? I've known him for a really long time, since high school. He works at the Science Museum. He is perfect, and I realized that you two are probably perfect for one another.
Wow, you said we're perfect for each other like 3 times.
That's perfect.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, then give him my number and tell him to text my dumbass.
I will do that.
Ooh, God, I'm juggling a lot of nasty boys.
Nasty girls.
Ow.
That was a clip from the 3rd and final season of Shrill, which is streaming on Hulu. You're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, SW Counsor. And now we're joined by an Emmy-nominated producer who has worked in feature films, commercials, music videos, and now TV series. David Kress, welcome back to Words and Pictures.
Thanks for having me.
Well, the last time you were here, you were wrapping up Portlandia after 8 seasons on the IFC channel. And from what I've been hearing, you were instrumental in building the talent pool for Shrill based largely on the relationships you had formed on Portlandia.
Yeah, it was that core Portlandia crew plus more to handle the demands of a narrative and a much more sprawling story.
Well, and you have personally been an activist in bringing film and television production to Oregon. You've been a fixture with the Oregon Media Production Association and the Oregon Film Office.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it really is a great occupation, and I want to build that infrastructure up so more people can experience here. And lately, you know, big goal for us as the Oregon Media Production Association and the Film Office, frankly, is trying to create more representation for marginalized communities behind the camera.
Right. This is a show that's largely put together by women. How does that affect the culture that goes on behind the scenes?
Well, it did make a difference. It made a difference to us, but you know, that was something that Fred Armisen and Carrie Brownstein and John Krizel, the creators of Portlandia, were big on too. Also, honestly, we were a little more integrated because our team was younger, our budget was low, so we didn't necessarily have the money to get the most experience. The people have been in those technical positions the longest, so there was a lot of learning that went on in the show, and those people have come on to become, you know, some of the city's leading professional technicians and craftspeople.
Allie Rushfield, who we spoke with earlier, she had been producing big budget series like Parks and Recreation for NBC. You know, I imagine that when she joined you here in Portland, it took some level of creativity to get a streaming series like Shrill looking as polished as it does.
I think there is some apprehension that when you come to Oregon, that the work process will be different than it is if you're in Los Angeles or New York. And most people are pleasantly surprised because we have enjoyed this sort of superior film infrastructure than a city the size of Portland should probably rightly have. There's a few kind of interesting historical reasons for that. But we really do have, it is a great place to, if you're a creator, it's a great place to work. We have everything you need.
Yeah. And even though Lindy West's stories took place in Seattle, the folks at Hulu decided, let's set the show in Portland. And it sounds like you said the infrastructure was a big part of that, but also the tone of what was available here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Hulu originally had hoped British Columbia for your, the dollar is strong, so your money goes a little further there, and they have a rich tax incentive base superior to Oregon's. I think what happened was there was a kind of an acknowledgement. They had just produced a few pilots Hulu had up in Canada. In fact, one with Carrie Brownstein, and the sense was that the crew base was taxed and that they weren't getting access to their best people. Also, prices had gone up because supply and demand. So that coupled with the fact that we were just rolling off Portlandia. So we had this Broadway video pointed out to Hulu and Warner Brothers that they had this crew base from Portlandia that was sitting idle, ready to work. And I think we were also helped by the fact that Max Hadelman, who's one of the founders of Brownstone Productions, the two producing entities besides Warner Brothers and Hulu were Lorne Michaels, Broadway Video, and Brownstone Productions, that he had grown up here in Portland and knew the Northwest very well. And they'd been kind of following along with Portlandia and the other productions, Leave No Trace, you know, the number of quality films that have been produced here, Kelly Reichardt's work, they were well aware of that. So I think they were comfortable with it and they sort of suggested to Hulu and Warner Brothers that it was the right move. And they were pretty adamant about it. And I'm grateful to them for it because it was a great experience.
Well, there were no shortages of controversies during the run of Portlandia. Lots of people had opinions about how the city of Portland was portrayed. It's a whole different thing with Shrill, which has at times courted controversy. So for the first couple seasons, did you find yourself fielding complaints from any quarters or did people just take it in stride?
Well, yeah, I mean, I do feel some Portlanders' disappointment when they find out I was part of Portlandia. I do feel some disappointment from people from time to time. But, you know, I think that the city, although it enjoys a tremendous amount of film work, it hasn't really hit that saturation point where people are feel mightily inconvenienced by the fact that we might ask them to drive around the block to post a detour or ask them from time to time if it's okay if we use their driveway. So it's still a place where people find, I think, us in the film industry more as a novelty than an intrusion.
With Shrill coming to an end, I imagine that you're looking around for new projects. Is anything getting you excited right now?
By the way, on that topic, John Krizel, one of the three creators behind Portlandia, called me during the height of the protests and said, do we need to send the mayor of Portland back to Portland? I think he was thinking Kyle MacLachlan would help us through our trials and tribulations with the protests.
Yeah, that might've been the case. I wouldn't have minded seeing Kyle MacLachlan again.
But to answer your other question, we're working on some projects currently. We filmed the first season of Chad here. That's another show that started out in British Columbia, but because of the work experience there, the director of that series works on documentary now, and he suggested that they come back to Portland and work with our Portlandia crew and our Doc Now crew that he liked a lot. And so they did. And so we filmed that season. So if you want to see more of Portland, look at Portland and beyond, Estacada and some other places, tune into Chad on TBS. And TBS was happy enough with that they brought a pilot up, and I've been working on the pilot, and that'll be followed by another TBS pilot. So TBS is happy with the work product here, and we're working away on more stuff right now.
Well, you've worked with some of the great indie creators out there, Gus Van Sant, Matt McCormick, Shell White, the Firesign Theater. Do you see the media landscape opening up more to outsiders, or is studio consolidation going to start making everything look more the same?
the encouraging development in my view is this notion of like the auteur creator, like Nassim Padrid is the creative force behind Chad, and she's in it and she's the head writer. And A.D. Bryant fits into that mold, I think, and Fred Armisen and Carrie Brownstein, those shows like Fleabag and Catastrophe, where the shows are bound up in the people who are creating them in more ways than used to be typical. I really find those shows to be, they just have an energy to them that I think is real easy to like and love. I am nervous that, you know, we're in this golden age of television and there's multiple streaming services, but I've been around the world long enough to know that those things change and those corporate entities may consolidate a bit. And then instead of these niche stories that they're telling that are making us all incredibly happy, that they might try to go for broader themes and then in that way make the work a lot less interesting. But right now it's encouraging. I hope it stays that way, fingers crossed. But the different kinds of work, the allegiance to narrower audiences, the real push for diverse voices, you know, I think it's not a bad time to be sitting in the audience.
Well, David Kress is an award-winning producer for feature films, commercials, and TV series. He joined us today along with author Lindy West and showrunner Ali Rushfield. They've all been teaming up on the Hulu comedy series Shrill, based on the best-selling memoir by Lindy. David, always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Counsor. Before we go, I'd like to remind all of our listeners that this community radio station needs your support, as our physical studios are remaining closed for the time being. To become a member of KBOO or to arrange for a donation of any size, please visit kboo.fm/give. You can take home a brand new holographic sticker during our Growing the Grassroots campaign. That's kboo.fm/give. Or if you like, you can mail a contribution to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, 97214. Thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and on the web. Thanks to the Oregon Media Production Association for their support and collaboration. And a very special thanks to Ken Jones for his expert work engineering today's program. You can find an archived version of this show later today at kboo.fm/wordsandpictures. And be sure to follow us on Twitter @wordsandpicture.